Welcome to Middletown Strong, Looking Up with Russell Library. I'm Kate Sahalis, and this is episode 2 of season 3. We've been extremely fortunate to have fantastic guests on our show, and today is no exception. Stephanie and I sit down with Eric Harris of Qi for Healing. Eric is a practitioner of traditional Chinese medicine. He is also a teacher of Tai Chi and Qigong. He is a healer who focuses primarily on individuals living with chronic illness and chronic pain. This episode will open your eyes to modalities you may have never heard of. We hope that you discover some gems throughout this episode. As always, thank you so much for listening, and please stay tuned for Shelf Life and Turn That Shh Up. Welcome to Middletown Strong, Looking Up with Russell Library. I'm Kate Sahalis, here with my co-host Stephanie Rush.
Hi.
And we are delighted to have Eric Harris from Qi for Healing here with us today, just in time to celebrate World Tai Chi Day, which falls on April 29th, I believe. Right, Eric?
Okay. Yeah.
Eric is a holistic healer and a Tai Chi, Qigong, and meditation teacher. Eric apprenticed under Dr. Ming Wu and became certified as a Chinese herbalist and Tui Na and Tongren therapist. We'll explain those modalities during the conversation. If that wasn't enough, Eric is also certified in crystal healing, aromatherapy, Reiki, and auriculotherapy. I probably missed a few things, but I think that's enough to get started. So thank you, Eric, for being here.
Awesome. Great to be here.
So to build some context, do you mind if I tell Stephanie and our listeners how we met?
Sure.
Okay. So I don't know how much of this you'll even remember because it's going back to like 2010. So in 2010, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer that had spread to her liver. And I don't even know if you know this, Eric, but at the time, so this was like, I want to say it was probably about June of 2010. She was given a 6 month to year to live. So she was pretty against doing chemo and she couldn't do surgery. That wasn't an option, but she did it. She went through the treatments. She did like one particular treatment and then that didn't do what they wanted it to. So they did another. So come like, I'm guessing about spring of 2011, she stopped treatment. They were like, there's really nothing else we can do. So that's when I found Wu Healing, which is in West Hartford. So we were doing a Tongren class, which you'll talk about later, yeah. Not with you, but with Dr. Wu.
Yeah.
And I don't so much as fuzzy about that time, but somehow we were connected with you. She wanted to do a private like healing. And I think the first one she did might have been at the studio, but then by the second, she was too sick to go. And so you were kind enough to come to her house. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember.
Okay. And she was like luminous after the healing that Eric did. And that's saying something because again, she was, you know, she was in a pretty bad way at that point. She was taking no pain medication, not even an Advil at that point. So she was mostly meditating and so she did a healing with Eric and it was wonderful. But then the following week when she was supposed to have her next one, she passed away like the day before the healing. And so I remember calling you to tell you obviously that, you know, you weren't going to be coming. But I asked you if I could take her session and you let me.
Oh, okay.
So you were like at the absolute most raw, I would say, part of my grief at that point. So thank you. I don't know if I ever actually thanked you for, you know, for being there at that point. And then I've seen Eric a few times over the years. I'm well overdue to see you again at different points for different sessions. So that's actually how we met.
Cool. Yeah.
Did I miss anything?
I think that pretty much sums it up. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad I could help with whatever way I could. So.
No, you definitely did. That was not, and it is, it's very fuzzy to remember the details because so much of that was just getting through the whole situation. So, yeah, but segueing on, choosing to work as a healer, especially at a young age, I mean, because you've been doing this for a while, is a unique life path. So can you tell us a little bit how you got started on this journey?
Sure. Yeah. And I'm going to keep it pretty brief. It's quite a story, but just for time purposes and stuff. But it's going to be great to share this because I think you don't really know a lot of my story. No. So, but I have suffered many injuries in my life. And I've also dealt with chronic illness. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And that's why I'm so passionate about helping people with chronic pain, chronic illness. I would say probably 6 years before I met you, I had a neck injury that was really bad, and it flared up, actually a back injury that I had when I was 16. So that's when I first broke my back.
Oh, wow.
And so at L4, L5, and then I had a neck injury between C6 and C7, and I was like pretty debilitated. And that's actually what brought me back to Connecticut.
Oh.
Cause I'm from Connecticut, but I was living in New Jersey at the time.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah. So, and so pretty much nobody could really help me. I was having nerve pain going down my hands, and I had like a pinched nerve situation, and I was in a lot of pain, and it kind of threw off my back too, because your spine's all connected, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I pretty much went from one doctor to another with no answers. And then, you know, the universe totally stepped in, and God pretty much put all these people in my path to help me. And so I ended up working with this friend's mom from high school. She started giving me Reiki sessions, and that was really helpful. And then it opened up to like meeting this other person that was actually a Chinese medicine practitioner, and she put ear seeds in my ear, and I had like this huge release, and it was like this huge healing experience that I had. And I went from her to a craniosacral therapist, and then like I eventually stumbled upon Dr. Wu, and I started going to the Tongren classes, taking Qigong classes, Tai Chi, and seeing him for private sessions, and doing Tui Na and taking Chinese herbs. And I did like everything. I did detoxing, cleansing, all different types of stuff. And lo and behold, after really dedicating my life to this stuff and making all sorts of changes, within like 6 months, like my pain was like way down. Wow. And like, I wasn't, you know, the nerve pain started going away, and I wasn't like debilitated anymore. Mm. And it really opened my eyes to what this holistic medicine can do. Yeah. And, And so pretty much after that, I changed the whole course of my life and decided to dedicate my life to healing. So that's, pretty much how I got on this journey.
Wow. That's a good story.
Yeah. I heard a lot of buzzwords in there that I'm interested to hear more about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Steph.
Well, that perfectly segues into my question. You have an impressive list of certifications. And in that segment, you just named all these things that I was like, I kind of know what that is. I'd like to hear more about that. So two-part question, but I'm going to start with part two. Can you explain some of the lesser known therapies that you offer that listeners might not be familiar with?
Sure. I mean, the main foundation of what I do is Chinese medicine. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, like an acupuncturist, I work along the meridians, the energy channels of the body. And we could talk a little bit more about that, but, instead of using needles, I use my hands to open up the points, on those meridian channels. Okay. And that the type of therapy that I do is called Tui Na, and Tui Na in Chinese means pull and grasp. Okay. Mm. But it's a type of acupressure that uses like Qigong energy and that application of the acupressure to open up the energy channels. I also work with this modality called Tongren that we've talked about. And this is a very interesting modality. It's kind of abstract, but it's all about getting into a meditative state and using your intention and to focus on a person. And then you take an acupuncture doll that has all the meridians and an acupuncture hammer, and you tap on the doll.
Huh.
Okay. And it's amazing what happens, but it actually taps into someone's bioelectric system, right? And healing occurs. It's really hard to explain, but I can't tell you how many times I like people have had sensations. And a lot of times this is distance healing work. So I'll do like classes through Zoom, or I'll do private sessions with people, and they'll be like, wow, I'm feeling warm all over and tingling sensations. And like, or like, oh yeah, the pain I was experiencing is lessened. And, you know, and it's from me just tapping on a doll for 10 minutes. But yeah, so that's a pretty abstract one, but it's really powerful. And the more people, you know, more group energy, the better with that. So that's Tongren therapy. Cool. Auricular therapy is another one she brought up. That yeah. is kind of like foot reflexology, which is the concept of that it's a homunculus. So it's a part of your body that represents your whole body, mm-hmm. your ear. And so there's 300 nerve endings. There's over 300 acupoints. And so what I do is I put seeds in people's ear. So I apply either silver, gold, magnet, or vicarious seed, depending on the condition. And it stays on with a little Band-Aid. So you make a little indent, huh. then you put the little Band-Aid on there.
He's done this to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it looks like a little piercing.
Yeah, almost, but it doesn't break the skin.
Interesting.
And you can press it too, and it can help you. And that, I've had profound experiences with people relieving their pain and helping them with so many things. So
they're really cool.
And yeah. I've had some cranial sacral work done before. But I'm curious if you can expand on that a little bit for listeners who might not know what that means.
Sure. So yeah, I'm not trained in that, mm-hmm. but it definitely is something. They work with the cranial rhythms of your brain. And it's like, it does a lot to like adjust. They can actually even like help to like move around bones and stuff, and like help with your skull and your stuff like that. So I've had a woman put her fingers in my mouth with gloves on and open up the vulmar bone, which is right up here. Different things like that. So
wild.
Yeah, but it's another, you know, it is like kind of an energy healing modality as well. There's like an energetics to it. So yeah.
Okay, well, now I'm going to go back to part one of my question. So that was actually probably a better thing to come first, so that we could kind of hear all the things that you offer. If someone is looking for a healer, how would you guide them toward picking the best service that meets their needs?
Okay, so would it be someone just generally looking for a healer, or someone working with me?
Someone specifically who's coming to you. Like, okay. What's the process look like for choosing the best type of therapy or service for them?
Okay, sure. So, because there's just a lot of people have different processes, yeah. so I can only kind of share
my experience. Yeah, speak to yours, please.
So, basically, what I've developed over the years is I often help people by talking with them first before I even start working with them. So I have them set up a discovery call, and I learn a little bit about what's going on with them, you know, a little bit about their history, stuff like that, what they're looking for. And then that kind of helps me to gauge, you know, what the best treatment is to do with them. I mean, I would say in general, the primary thing I do with people is the Tui Na, the acupressure. But then it's like there's all these other things I do that are off of that, whether it be, you know, fire cupping, gua sha, moxa, working with Chinese herbs. And, you know, I have all these tools in my tool belt, you know, aromatherapy, sound healing, all this different stuff.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. and so it just kind of depends on what they need, you know, what they're looking for. So it really helps even just to do a 15-minute call. Sometimes it's a 30-minute call. And then, you know, we kind of go from there, whether they're looking for detoxing or helping with, you know, I specialize in helping people with chronic illness and chronic pain. Unfortunately, a lot of people deal with that. So there's a lot of different ways to approach it, but that's generally how the process works for me. I really like to talk to people first, and then they also can get to know me a little bit too. Yeah. And like, learn about how I can help them. So
cool.
Yeah, so good. So the best practitioners understand that the individual plays a huge role in their personal healing journey. How do you empower clients to take on that role so that it's not necessarily you doing everything?
Yeah, sure. The general rule my teacher taught me was that actually we can only do 30% of the work, mm-hmm. that it's actually 70% of the work is up to the patient, you know? And so the way that you, I mean, I don't go in there and say, hey, you got to do 70% of the work, but,
that'd be a fun way to start.
Yeah. So if this is going to work, yeah. you know, this might not work out. I don't know, but no, you know, I think empower is the perfect word there, you know, and to kind of, I feel like over the years, I've really developed compassion and empathy for people and understanding of where they're at. And that to me is the most important piece for me, to really kind of meet them where they are. And then I can also then that also kind of crafts for me the advice that I can give them for things that they can do for themselves. Like, you know, everyone is willing to do certain things, you know, and that's fine. And whatever they're willing to do is fine, you know. So some people are like, I'll do whatever you tell me, mm-hmm. right? You know, I'm like, okay, well, then I can have you make some dietary changes and yeah. we can focus on supplements. You know, I can give you exercises. I can give you a whole routine, you know. But some people are like, well, I'm not going to change anything in my diet. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, no problem, you know. Like, so it just kind of depends on where people are at. But yeah, I'm always giving people tips and stuff. And it just depends on what's happening. Like, I might send them home with a moxibustion kit, you know. Well, that's like, moxa is, I don't know if I ever did that with you.
Or maybe you didn't. I just didn't
realize. Yeah. Well, did I ever light you on fire? Because that's what it kind of feels like.
I feel like you'd remember.
I think I'd remember
on fire.
You didn't do that.
Yeah, moxa is... using the herb mugwort and the heat from lighting, you have these little heat shields and little cones that you light on fire, and the heat shields prevent you from burning the skin.
Yeah.
Okay. Traditionally, it was done with sticks that then you would put in like a moxa box, right?
Okay.
And it would be like billows of smoke, you know. Huh. The what my teacher calls them baby moxa is. It doesn't smoke as much, but it does. The heat goes deep into an area, so you put that like on a specific acupoint, right?
Yeah.
Or like if people have like swelling in their feet, or digestive issues, or gynecological issues, like those are some of the things that I've given patients to like bring home that they can reach and do on for themselves, you know, or like give them a gua sha tool and teach them how to do gua sha, which is basically means scraping. So you put a little bit of oil on an area, and then you scrape, and it helps bring blood to the surface and promote healing. So like I can teach clients to do that depending on what they have going on. Like maybe if they have sinus issues or neck issues, like in an area where they can reach for themselves, you know? So there's like all different things that I can provide for people. You know, sometimes I'm like giving them meditations or affirmations and, you know, like, yeah, it just all depends. But I mean, that's why I've said in my business from the beginning, like my mission statement was like connecting the body, mind, and spirit, you know, and having a fully integrative approach to healing, you know, that it's like not just like working with the body, it's working with everything, your mind, your emotions, and your spiritual connection. And that I can help you with whatever, you know, you're comfortable with and what you want to work on. You know what I mean? So
and what you're willing to put into it as well.
Yeah. So that's where that like 70% comes in. It's like, you know. And I find that over the years, the people that really do their work that I recommend to them, or even if it's that other people recommend to them, it's fine. It's like, you know, but the people that just in general, they do their work, they heal so much faster and also like completely, you know, than the people that may just come and like expect me, like the power's all in my hands.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah.
Thank you. That's, yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Okay, so Kate had mentioned World Tai Chi Day, which I didn't even realize was a thing, but it's coming up on April 29th. So can you talk to us a little bit about Tai Chi and Qigong and what kind of the similarities or differences are between the two for people who are new to the concepts?
Sure. Yeah, so the way I usually kind of explain it is Qigong has actually been around for thousands of years, much like yoga, and there's many different like forms of it, but it basically is a moving meditation. Okay. A lot of the exercises are done in the standing position, but there are some seated exercises and stuff like that. But mostly things are done in the standing position and getting the perfect alignment with your spine. We focus a lot on that, like just your proper posture and body alignment and focusing on your breath as you move through the exercises. So it's a very meditative practice. It's a lot more gentle on the body. Whereas you, like yoga sometimes is not as gentle and Tai Chi sometimes is not as gentle depending on what exercises you do. Yeah. So segueing into that, like Tai Chi has been around for about 600 years. It was actually developed from Qigong. Oh, so most people don't know that. Most people like know Tai Chi, and they actually think Qigong is Tai Chi, you know? But yeah, so that's just kind of how it developed. And the main difference is that Tai Chi is actually can be a martial art form. It can be used for self-defense. So, and so there are like kicks and punches and stuff like that as part of the form. I did not know that. So I practice the Yang style long form and sometimes the short form, but there's 108 different movements in the long form. Cool. And yeah, and so yeah, that's pretty much the difference. And but they're both like, they both can get you to the same place though. And it just depends on a lot of times people's preference. Like some people really prefer Tai Chi and some people really prefer Qigong. I find that over the years, you know, I've learned that like more people that are deal with chronic pain, chronic illness, it's probably better for them to do Qigong, right? Whereas, you know, because there's certain things that you can't do. Like if you're dealing with certain knee issues or different issues, you can't do a spin and a kick. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Did that pretty much answer
Yeah, and it the answered question? The second part of the question I didn't even get to yet about who can benefit from the practices, and you kind of already explained that, so.
Yeah, pretty much everyone can. You can modify it to, you know, what your needs are, so. And I've worked with kids all the way to elderly people, so.
Great.
So I noticed that you're offering a Qigong for Chronic Pain Certification course on April 29th and 30th. We'd love to hear some more details about that. Like, do you need a certain background in order to participate in that?
Sure. Yeah. And so, you know, as I kind of detailed before, you know, I'm an expert in chronic pain and chronic illness and stuff. So, and I've just kind of developed this course to help people with chronic pain. Right. But that being said, you don't have to, you know, deal with that to take the course. I'm really just teaching the foundations of Qigong and helping people to heal themselves with it, right? So anybody can do it and benefit from it. So yeah, but I figured like, you know, a lot of people are teaching Qigong courses, but I wanted to kind of niche down a little bit and like, you know, give some people something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So the main difference is I'm actually going to teach people 10 acupoints that specifically help with chronic pain. So an acupoint that'll help with knee pain, back pain, shoulder pain, neck pain, things like that, right? I'm also going to teach some basic fundamentals of TCM, like the explanation of the different types of qi. I'll teach some basic five elemental theory, which is the foundation of like all of Chinese medicine. I'll talk a little bit about the meridians and the organ systems. I will introduce people to like the principles of Qigong and some Taoist healing chants that they can do that are like really powerful for healing. And then I'm going to just teach them some of the forms and some of the foundational exercises. So, and a big part of the course is teaching people to learn how to modify the exercises that they're learning to meet the needs of the people that they're teaching or working with or themselves, you know, depending on what they have going on, you know. So
where is this happening?
It's going to happen at the Red Barn in Durham.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And is it going to be, is that outside or inside?
Maybe a little bit of both as long as the weather's nice.
Yeah. You never know at the end of April.
No, yeah. It's usually pretty nice though. Yeah. By the end of April. So. And I purposely did it on World Tai Chi and Qigong Day.
I wondered about that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, probably did that.
Yeah. I've done in the past, I've usually done an event. I've usually done like a free class on that day and stuff like that. Or I've done like a forage walk, you know, but I just decided people have been asking me to teach this workshop for a while. So I was like, well, I just take me a little bit to put stuff together. And I finally got it together. So, and I figured, well, it's perfect. Everyone around the world that practices Qigong and Tai Chi, you know, will be practicing on April 29th. So the energy will be even more powerful, you know, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you talked about foraging. I say foraging because it's a Jersey thing.
That's cool. You can say whatever you want. However you want.
But that's another thing that you do. Do you do that with, because you do that pretty regularly, right?
Yeah, I do it as much as I can, like when the by season's happening.
By yourself or with a group?
Often by myself, but I do also lead classes, you know, so I'll lead people out in the woods. We'll usually start by doing a little Qigong, get us a little grounded, connected to the earth, and then we'll go on a little walk and see what we can find. So that's something I've been doing for, since 2001 was when I first started learning with a teacher of Native American, you know, skills and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was the first person to open me up to wild foraging. So I'm always learning more, every year, but yeah, so there's so much in this area too, that we have to offer, that especially if you get to a protected space that doesn't spray with chemicals.
I just feel like the first thing I picked up would be poisonous. That's so you really have to be with somebody that knows what they're doing.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But believe it or not though, when you start to learn it, you start to realize how there's medicine and food all around you.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. So
very cool.
Yeah.
So meditation has come up a couple times in this conversation already. So I can tell it's a big part of your practice as a healer. What advice or recommendations do you have to people who are maybe a little hesitant or skeptical about the practice of meditation?
Sure. So I would say most often people that come to me with like apprehension of meditation is that they say, well, I can't stop my thoughts.
That's me. Right? Yes, you're speaking to me.
And what I always say to that is like, well, that's not the goal of meditation, you know, and that you're actually probably never going to stop your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Basically what you learn with meditation is to learn how to watch your thoughts and to be more mindful and let them come and let them go. You know, I like to bring up the analogy of like, you know, place any thought that comes in on a cloud and just gently, peacefully let it float away, you know?
Oh, that's so much more,
a lot of clouds.
So a cloud floating in the sky, you know?
Much more peaceful than what I do. I see it and I like smack it away with my hand, but I like the cloud imagery much better, more gentle.
And, you know, there's layers to it. I mean, there's a lot that I work with people. I mean, the other thing is like that you're not your thoughts and your thoughts are not real and you can change them. So, and that's just meditation in all its forms is a way to do that basically, you know? And ultimately, you know, because I'm big into nature and, you know, stuff like that, I always tell people, well, sit outside on a nice day and just become aware of your surroundings, you know, listen to the bird song. Feel the sun shining on your face, the gentle breeze blowing, pay attention to your breath, you know, feel your feet flat on the ground, you know, if you can do that barefoot, even better, that's going to allow you to go into meditation even quicker. But just simple things like that, like we often overcomplicate meditation, but meditation can be done in any area of your life. You can meditate while washing the dishes, vacuuming, driving in a car, you know, I do a lot of meditation driving in a car. And that's why it's called a practice though too, just like with Qigong, it's a practice because, you know, the more you do it, the easier it is, you know, and you also start to see the benefit of it, you know, because it can change, especially if you do it in the morning, it can change how you go out about the rest of your day and how you respond and react to things that happen to you.
Or don't react.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I guess, you know, but just simple the better is what I'm saying, you know, like just to try to, you know, our ego likes to really overcomplicate things and then just not do it.
Yeah.
Because ego doesn't like meditation at all.
Oh, no.
So you got to kind of trick it a little bit, you know. But yeah.
Good points all around.
Yeah. I actually just started meditating this past week. Like I've done it at different points and always known this is something you need and just for all those reasons. Mm-hmm. And I finally was like, all right, it's time.
Yeah.
Like just sit down. And I said to my husband, like set a timer. I just want to know. And it's ranged between 13 minutes to 40 minutes. And like for no apparent reason, I'm not aiming for a specific time. It's just like when I feel complete, you know, then I stop. And it really... allowing the thoughts to come is really, it is key.
Yeah.
Just like, that's okay.
Yeah, don't attach to them.
Yes. You know? Exactly. So,
Yeah. And there's also, I mean, modern technology has all sorts of awesome things out there between, you know, apps with meditation or YouTube videos and, you know, all sorts of stuff that can be really helpful too. Yeah. So,
yeah. Was there more to that question? I can't remember.
Eric answered it.
Yeah, he answered
it. Kind of came around to it. It was built right in. So we're good.
So our show is rooted in gratitude and building community in Middletown. Since you moved your practice to Middletown, what have you been most grateful for?
Oh, that's a good question.
A real thinker, Kate.
Yeah. I guess what I've been most grateful for is just meeting new people, you know, and connecting with new people and finding a place that, you know, I felt at home, you know, and building my home here and then connecting with all different businesses and people in the community and clients that I've worked with. And especially like going through COVID, the COVID experience, you know, before COVID, I actually saw clients at my home. Like you came to my house, I think a couple times, you know, and so once COVID happened, my wife was like, yeah, you're not doing that anymore.
Yep, fair.
And so I was very grateful to switch my practice to the Red Barn in Durham. I know it's not in Middletown, but it's pretty close. And there's a lot of practitioners that are from Middletown area there. And I've been very grateful to work there. I mean, I was already kind of teaching some classes there, but it just perfectly lined up that like a space opened up and I was able to go in there. And that's been really good. So I would just say, you know, grateful to find a home all around. Yeah. So,
So are you exclusively seeing clients at this point at the Red Barn?
No, I still have my foothold in West Hartford, just because that's where I started my practice in 2010, basically. Yeah, 2009,
so that's
2010.
That's right around the time.
Yeah, right around the time I met you. Yeah. It was like 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. So I do 2 days a week up there. Right now I'm at the Collaborative Natural Health Partners, which is on Park Road. So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your home studio, though, is that completely off limits?
For in person, but you know, I will see virtual clients and I do classes there. Now I have a whole setup kind of like we're in right now.
Yeah.
So, you know,
in 2023, you have to have that home setup.
Yeah.
You really do.
Yeah. I have all the podcast equipment and, you know, tripods and everything. So,
well, and you, I mean, you really, I hate this word pivot, but you really did with your business. you didn't stop at all through the pandemic. And then didn't you do like a crazy Tai Chi or Qigong every day where you were...
Oh, well, yeah, I do that from time to time.
But it was like a long time that you did
It's called 100 Day Foundation.
100 Day, okay.
Yeah, so you do Qigong every day for 100 days.
Yeah.
So, and I did a video every day on Facebook,
So you really managed to not stop.
Yeah, I don't really stop much. Yeah, it's probably better for me to stop, but I just keep going. Yeah. I have so many things that I do and want to do. Like, you know, when people say I'm bored, I'm like, I don't understand
what that word is.
We couldn't understand
that. So I never have enough time in the day to do everything I want to do. So, but yeah, it was nice to, I mean, at first it was a little hectic, obviously, you know, but yeah, it was nice to kind of learn different things. I'm still learning and, you know.
As it should
be. Yeah.
All right. So for listeners who are intrigued and have found like really interesting things in this conversation, what's the best way to get in touch with you to take a class or book a session?
Yeah, the easiest way is to find me on social media at Chi for Healing. That's Chi for Healing. Well, some people like to throw the number 4 in there.
I know. I was like, oh, he's got to spell it because it's not a number. Yeah. I saw where you were going.
I was just
with that.
Thinking about the chi. I wasn't even thinking.
And then some people want to put a QI in there, but it's a CHI. So, yeah. And then it's also chiforhealing.com is my website. So, just social media at Chi for Healing. Chiforhealing.com is the easiest way to reach out to me. You could do eric@chiforhealing.com if you want to send me an email. Mm-hmm. So, that's.
So is there anything else that you'd like to offer the community? Any words of wisdom or just events that you might have coming up that in addition to the Qigong event?
Yeah, I'm actually going to do a forage walk on Earth Day weekend. So on Sunday, it's at 1:00. I'm still figuring out the location. Sometimes I switch it up depending on what's growing.
Okay.
So people can just kind of register and then I'll send them the address
when
it's happening. But that's April 23rd. And you know, I'll probably set up, I do some meditation sometimes. I've done it at Star Mill Yoga or the Soulshine Salt Cavern at the Red Barn.
Cool.
So, which is pretty cool. So, I'm still, you know, I've been kind of mostly focusing on the Qigong certification right now.
Yeah.
So, and then I'll kind of, you know, map out some other things along the way. But yeah. But
that would be on, any new things would be on your website.
Any new things would be on my website or social media. I'm pretty active on Facebook and Instagram. I'm not real big with TikTok and all that stuff, but
you can't do them all.
Yeah. Nope. So, but yeah, but that's pretty much what's happening. And really, like, words of wisdom can kind of just segue into, you know, the next thing we're going to do, I guess.
Yeah. Perfect. So before you give your words of wisdom, will you please lead us in a guided meditation or breath, whatever you'd like to do to wrap us up today?
Sure. So I just want to move that out of the way so I can bring this here.
If our listeners could see, we've got all kinds of stuff on this table right now.
So they had mentioned this and they were like, oh, can you just do like a cleansing breath? And I was like, well, I can do a little bit more than that.
Yeah. Why stop there?
So, I mentioned earlier about the Taoist healing chants that I'm going to teach in the Qigong certification. And so I wanted to share a couple of them with you. So there's this one chant that it's technically like three chants in one, but it represents our connection between heaven and earth. It's a Taoist chant, okay? And so it goes, Hong Ah Ong. So O-N-G. There's like an H in the first one and an O on the third one there, okay? So what I want you to do is just get comfortable in your seat. Bring your shoulders up, back and down. Tuck your tailbone, which means flattening your abdomen, straightening your spine. Feel your feet flat on the ground. And your chin is parallel to the floor. And feel the grounding at your feet connecting you to the earth. And then visualize a string pulling you up from the top of your head, connecting you to the heavens. And visualize a healing white light coming down through that string, all the way down through the crown of your head, moving all the way through your body, down your spine, down your arms, moving through all your organs, down your legs, and to the bottom of your feet. And focus on your breath. Notice the rise and fall of your belly. With every inhale and exhale. And continue to breathe. Keeping your awareness on your body and this connection between heaven and earth. And as you hear these vibrations, allow them to open you up a little bit more. Oh. I'm going to close with a passage from Louise Hay. This is from a book called Trust Life. I open my heart and let the love dissolve the fear. At any moment, I have the opportunity of choosing love or fear. In moments of fear, I remember the sun. It is always shining, even though the clouds may obscure it for a while. Like the sun, the one infinite power is eternally shining its light upon me, even though clouds of negative thinking may temporarily obscure it. I choose to remember the light. I feel secure in the light. And when the fears come, I choose to see them as passing clouds in the sky, and I let them go on their way. I am not my fears. It is safe for me to live without guarding and defending myself all of the time. When I feel afraid, I open my heart, and I let the love dissolve the fear.
That's good. Right?
Yeah.
I can't help but smile when you chant. I've heard you do it before, but not in a space like this. Mm. And it just goes all the way through your body, mm-hmm. right? Like I'm tearing. Mm-hmm. I can feel it. It's wild.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you.
I feel very relaxed right now.
I know.
Oh, so relaxed. I mean, I have to drive home after this. I can't be too relaxed. No. But really setting the intention for the rest of my day.
Yes. Well, thank you, Eric, for that, for the interview, for just the work that you do in every life that you touch. You're doing really important things.
Awesome. So,
thank
You're welcome.
You for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Anytime.
This was great.
Hello and welcome to Shelf Life. I'm Christy Billings, and today I'm joined by
Stephanie Rush
and Kate Bond.
Christy is only Christy today, though.
I'm the only Christy here.
Tomorrow, who knows?
I know. That's it. We'll see what happens. This month, we wanted to talk about, for our second podcast of our season, we wanted to talk about a little bit about self-care and some topics that people don't necessarily touch on, and that is helping people maybe in need. I'm going to talk a little bit about reading to someone who's very, very ill. I had an experience that I wanted to share with folks. Stephanie, you're going to talk a little bit about
affirmations.
And Kate?
I'm going to talk about a story about the pandemic and how that affected one family.
So I think some of these topics are a little bit heavy, but we want to ask folks to hang with us. Mm-hmm. I think you might find some wisdom to use in your life or pass along to someone else. So Stephanie, would you like to get us started?
Sure. Okay. So last month we had talked about what to do for this episode, and we were talking a little bit about poetry because April is poetry month. And so I picked something that was not technically poetry, but very lyrical. And I hope that our listeners will enjoy it. So I chose Good Morning, Good Night, Little Pep Talks for Me and You by Lin-Manuel Miranda of Hamilton fame. Some nice. Of you may recognize the name. And the art in this book is by Johnny Sun. So this is a little book that I read in one sitting when I got it a couple of years ago. And it's just like these little gems that kind of give you a little extra, little bump. And so the way that this book is structured is that there are little illustrations that are throughout, and each page has a good morning poem / affirmation and a good night one. So I picked a couple. Honestly, I could have just opened this book at random and read you any because they're all lovely, but I picked a few. So this one goes, "Good morning. The moment that connects you to your true passion might be on the other side of breakfast, or just a baby step there. Let's see." And then there's a picture of breakfast. And then on the next page, it says, "Good night. The moment that connects you to your true passion might be on the other side of tonight, or just a baby step there. Let's see." So there are these like bookends to each other. I'll read you another one because they're just so lovely. And I like to open this book and kind of just read a little affirmation when I need just a tiny little boost. This one says, "Good morning from the younger version of you who couldn't wait to be at this age right now." And the one that pairs with it is, "Good night from the older version of you who remembers the very moment you are in right now and is grinning from ear to ear because you have no idea about the wonders ahead." And so the whole book is like that.
Oh, I love those.
And I mean, yeah. I read it in one sitting, but these are probably better to be savored. And like yeah. this is probably one of those books that you could do like one a day.
Yeah.
Keep it on your bedside table. So mm-hmm. like read one in the morning, read one at night. I don't know how to do that. I have to devour the whole book in one sitting, but they're nice to go back to so you can savor them. I also like the one on the back. It says, "Good morning. Eyes up, hearts up, mind sharp, compassion on full blast. Sips coffee. Okay, let's go." And then it wraps up with, "Good night. Eyes shut, hearts open, minds calm, empathy on full blast. Sips tea. Okay, let's go." It's just like a little treasure, a little treasure of a book. And if you know Lin-Manuel Miranda's work, you know that he's very lyrical, very poetic in his style. And then Johnny Son, the illustrator, he's just, you know, a guy that people know on the internet from his internet art. But it's just like a lovely little book to turn to when you just need a little something. And if like affirmations aren't your thing, that's fine. These are kind of affirmations. They're also kind of just like, they're almost like fortune cookie fortunes, but less ambiguous.
Right. It's really a very positive book.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're not going to win $1 million, but who cares?
Yeah. Right. Like just think about today. Think about the moment. Like this.
And the illustrations are cute.
They're really they're
cool. Cute. They're simple. Yes. They're just line drawings.
Yeah. Like, so the one I opened to just now is, it's a slice of, it's like a pie souffle, but it looks like a pizza. And it says, "Good morning, you magnificent slice of perfection." Yeah, you. And then the opposite page says, "Good night, you generous helping of flawlessness. I'm looking at you." And I'm just like,
they make you laugh.
They make you laugh. And these are ones that I could see just like looking myself in the mirror and being like, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, you beautiful, flawless piece of pie. Like,
right. And then all day you have that and it will make you chuckle. And I think that's pretty cool. And then the nighttime one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good way to turn your brain off.
Yeah. I'm somebody who has a hard time with that. Yeah. So I have to take my own advice and remember to do these before bed because I'd much rather think, you know, "Good night, great team, great game, you are clutch" before I go to bed instead of like, "Remember that thing you did in third grade that was really embarrassing?"
Right.
I need this. I need good morning, good night pep talks instead. Right. Yeah, Kate knows.
Yeah.
So that was "Good Morning, Good Night, Little Pep Talks for Me and You" by Lin-Manuel Miranda with art by Johnny Sun.
I love that. Yeah. So my topic's a little bit heavier. I have a dear friend that passed recently. And it was a gift and a treasure to be able to be with her during her final weeks. She had been reading Michelle Obama's book. It was given to her as a gift, "The Light We Carry, Overcoming in Uncertain Times." And it was such a treasure to read that with her. I started it because she was tired one day and I said, "Would you like me to read a little bit of your book?" And Michelle Obama's book is, it's Michelle Obama, what can I even say? She wrote this, though, I think, to help people overcome things. I mean, as the title says, I think she was thinking a lot about COVID, but also just the world that we've been living in. Mm-hmm. And I found it to be such a comforting book while I was reading it to my dear friend. I looked up some information because I know that this book worked for us. My friend did pass and is now at peace. But I wanted folks to be able to think about something that would work for them. And I found a website that Paula McCain from Rutland, Vermont has put together. And the website is called onthewaytodying.com. She is phenomenal. She has all the information that nobody talks about, except we did have a really good podcast with Marcella Trowbridge, who is a death doula and who did talk with us at length of this. But if you would like to read more about this, I really recommend Paula's website. She talks about if you're going to read to someone who is very ill or on their deathbed, the first step is to ask the person if they would like to be read to. Mm. So I think that was like a great first step. And if they do, ask if they have a favorite book of fiction, nonfiction, poetry, meditation, or prayers. You can try the newspaper. And then we were talking about April being Poetry Month. Mm-hmm. And she recommends Garrison Keller's book, Good Poems, because the poems are divided into different topics. Mm-hmm. So that would be kind of a good place to start. Nonfiction, she recommended Brandon Stanton's the second book of Humans of New York Stories.
Oh, it's such a good one.
Right? And so they're short, but there's also things to talk about if the person is well enough to be able to communicate with you.
I never would have thought of the Humans of New York series. That's very smart.
Isn't that a wonderful one?
It's a good piece of connection.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then I found when I was reading to my friend, I would read and people would join us to visit with her. Mm-hmm. And I would say, oh, I'm going to put the book away. And my friend would say, no, don't stop reading. And the other folks also enjoyed listening. And I found like a little bit funny at first to be reading in front of other people too, but it didn't matter. That was our way of connecting. And then we could talk about the things we were reading about.
Yeah.
She recommends staying with chapters that are books that are short in chapters or segmented in content. Mm. And that was Michelle Obama's book to a T. So I was very fortunate that the person that gave her that book made The End of Time for my friend so much more of a connection for us. I'm very grateful to have had that. I think if people were interested to find out a book that they could read, certainly come talk to us at the library. We would find out more about your person that you're with and get a book that would be more personalized for you. But you know, these are things that people don't necessarily talk about, and it's an important piece of life.
Absolutely.
Right. So my book was Michelle Obama's book, The Light We Carry, Overcoming in Uncertain Times, Humans of New York by Brandon Stanton, and Garrison Keillor's book, Good Poems. Kate.
So I picked up a book by Nikki Grimes, and it's called Garvey in the Dark. And it's about a family right before COVID, and it gives you a little snapshot of who they are and their relationships. And then as they live in California, and so as they creep closer to what's going on, the kids are like, oh, we're starting to hear, you know, trickles of this thing of this illness that's happening to people. And they're like, you know, they're kids. And so nobody's really worried. They're like, I go to basketball practice and we're going to do this. And it slowly shows this family as COVID is becoming a reality for them, how they're kind of fracturing a little bit and how they're really seeing the reality hitting them. And then they start, you know, as we did in COVID, there was the lockdowns and everybody was in their houses, and how it affects this family of, you know, being isolated from everybody else. And Garvey plays guitar. And so he and his dad would teach him guitar. And so he'd learn a lot from his father. And so at some point, his dad gets sick and everybody's stressed. And so the guitar lessons are now fewer and far between. Mm. And at some point, you know, it's like an accordion. They go from, hey, everything's great, to now they're just being stretched thin. And then suddenly things are changing back again. And Garvey and his friends are all musicians. And so they say, let's go to the hospital and let's see if we can perform. And his mother's worried about, okay, are you standing 6 feet apart? Are you outside? And so they work up something where they perform for the patients inside the hospital.
Wow.
And, you know, they start to kind of come out of this stress, and there's still, you know, there's still pieces of stress, and there's still COVID is still very, very strong and happening, but there's these little pockets of positivity and doing things for other people.
The
giving, exactly right. And as I'm reading the story, I see like my own experience with COVID, like that, oh, we're going to be shut down for 2 weeks. We'll be back it. And then suddenly
remember
2 weeks.
When.
Right. Exactly. Right. And it was so relatable, and I connected to this family. And then of course you have the other things going on, the Breonna Taylor, George Floyd. And so there's all these stressors going on that affect this particular family. And so it's just, you just see this, you know,
I love the accordion piece because it's a musical book, it sounds like, as well.
Yeah.
And so many people took to poetry and art and music during COVID as a way of coping, but to be giving that gift to people.
Right.
Especially people who are feeling ill.
Exactly. And it's told in verse.
So. I was going to ask that. Yeah. Nikki Grimes is a poet, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. She wrote a wonderful book about a book on I think she's on a bicycle on the cover. I'm sorry, I'm not gonna remember the name.
I think so, we have it.
Yeah, I love that one. Oh my gosh, Kate, that's so cool. Yeah, so it's in verse
and actually I just noticed, I picked this up today, sorry, but I just noticed at the front, what do you see?
It's really a guitar.
Cool. A guitar.
And see, when I saw this book on the shelf, I didn't know it was about the pandemic. I thought it was just about the guitar. Just seeing the cover, so it's interesting to know that there's this piece that I would not have known until I picked it up.
Layers.
Well, I picked it up and I was like, oh, there's the silhouette of this kid, and I didn't even pay attention to the lines and the
placement
of the guitar. And so he's very much a musician and a reader, and his sister and his dad are more sports oriented. Mm. So it's a very, you know, they'll have different interests, but it's a really good story, and I just feel my own accordion kind of happening as I'm reading. I'm like, oh yeah, that 2 weeks. I remember talking to friends. See you in 2 weeks. And then suddenly it's like, oh my gosh.
We're sort of coming up on, I mean, we
just came up on
the
anniversary. Years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all the things that we were kind of doing and not knowing what was going to happen next, of course, now on social media, all those, you know, memories.
Oh yes. Those have been haunting me lately. 3 years ago.
And it's like,
I'm in my pajamas and I'm looking outside and I'm like, soon.
Yeah. For all of us who were extroverts, we were like, get me the heck out of the house. For all my friends that were introverted or more, I shouldn't say I don't think people are exactly one or the other, but for people who were introverted, they're like, oh, this is really nice. Mm-hmm. For a while, nobody wanted anyone to be sick, but the having the pressure of having to be social, mm-hmm. I think for some people was a relief.
Right,
yes.
Right. Yep. And when they talked about doing the concert for the patients in the hospital, I thought of all those other places in the world at the beginning of the pandemic who, like, there was, they, you know, they did like 6 o'clock. We're all going to stand out on our porches.
The bells and the pots.
Ring the bells. Yes. Yep. Yeah.
My sister lives in New York. There was a lot of pot banging, a lot of bells.
Well, to make the connection, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I haven't finished it yet. I'm actually almost through, but it is a really good book, and it's called Garvey in the Dark by Nikki Grimes.
I do love her poetry. Mm. And I will say, I did not finish Michelle's book. My friend passed before we got to finish it. And I will go back someday because I did enjoy it, but I'm not quite ready for that yet.
Understandable.
Yeah. Right? The Light We Carry, Overcoming in Uncertain Times by Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
And
mine was Good Morning, Good Night. Little pep talks for me and you. Actually, can I read one more while we finish? I was gonna.
Yes.
Can I send this out?
Yes.
All right, I'm gonna send this out on this one. Okay. Again, I just opened it to a random page and I like it. This one goes: Good morning. Try and face the world with your best self, even if the world doesn't respond in kind. Don't do them. Do you. Good night. Tomorrow we try again. Rest up.
Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, and welcome to another installment of Turn That Shh Up, projects at Russell Library that are too good to keep quiet. Springtime is filled with new beginnings, and the Russell Library has programs to get you started on something new. We're celebrating Mother Nature, making new animal friends, and learning how to make the most of our money. Joining me today is Shannon from our Digital and Emerging Technologies department. Hello, Shannon.
Hello, Kim.
And how is spring treating you so far?
Treating me well so far. Today is absolutely beautiful. It is 65 and sunny, and the warmer weather is on its way, and I'm very excited.
Yes.
So
And all of the little creatures are waking up from their winter naps, and they're coming to visit the library. Our friends from the Eleanor Buck Wolf Nature Center are coming by the Russell Library on Friday, April 13th at 3 p.m. Educators will bring live animals to visit the library, including a Russian tortoise, corn snakes, and many more. Space is limited for this program, so be sure to visit the library's online calendar to register. Now, Shannon, where do you come down on snakes?
Well, I'll just say one thing. I'm indifferent with snakes.
Yeah.
I'm fine with them. This is also on Friday the 13th, this
event. Oh, no. Dun, dun, dun.
In April, which I always feel like is a Friday the 13th kind of vibe. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's more so than October, but I like snakes. I'm not like Indiana Jones who's afraid of them.
Right. Right.
Kind of indifferent. I have rattlesnakes. I grew up with rattlesnakes in the woods where I live.
Mm-hmm.
So weirdly, I don't really know why they're there.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't think, and I always just imagine like rattlesnakes in the desert.
Yeah.
But no, they're in Connecticut in the woods. So you see them and you're like, okay, just walk away from that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't like to be surprised by snakes.
No.
But I don't really like to be surprised by any animals. So, I mean, in general, I agree with you. Snakes don't repel me. But yeah, if I encountered one in the woods, I would definitely be walking in the other direction.
Yeah, I threw a rock at one time. Yeah. Sorry, that was like, but I didn't want it. I was scared. I was like 4. Sure. And my brother was like, dude, it's a snake. And I was like, no.
Well, it probably respected you for that. It's like, hey,
maybe,
you know, she's packing rock and I'm going to go the other way.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, animals are more startled by us than we are of them. Yeah.
That's
true.
And
if we get scared, we've scared them more.
That's true.
So we have to be sensitive to them.
Well, you know, sometimes animals and people can coexist. There was a bear who hibernated under somebody's porch.
In Connecticut. Yes. I saw that on the news and they're like, we'll just let him be.
Yeah.
Yep. You just got to.
We'll let the dog out of the front, not the backyard. And I think the bear actually woke up not long ago, maybe a week or two ago. And they're like, we hope he comes back.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, it's a safe place for the bear then.
Right.
You don't know.
Peaceful coexistence. It is possible.
It is possible.
Yes. And it's going to happen at the library. So Friday, April 13th, come to the library and the Eleanor Buck Wolf Nature Center will show you some cool animals.
I'm excited.
So what else do we have going on in April?
Well, we are celebrating Earth Week with programs to help us think locally and keep Middletown green. On Monday, April 17th at 6 p.m., the library will host a panel of local speakers to share ways that we can affect positive environmental change within the community. Our guests will be Kim O'Rourke, Middletown's recycling coordinator, who will discuss ways in which to repurpose food waste, including composting and diversion. Yasmin, I love her. I'm totally gonna not pronounce her name correctly. So, but Yasmin of Reboot Eco. Yasmin, if you're listening, I apologize. With ways to reduce and reuse items to preserve the planet as well as our own wallets. We'll also be having Ray.
I believe it's Ray.
Thank you.
From Connecticut River Conservancy.
Who will share strategies to limit the spread of aquatic invasion species that are a threat to native ecosystems and waterways. We'll also be having John Hall from the Jonas Center of Earth and Art, and who will talk about the center's Replace Our Trees campaign. Marcella Trobich also will be coming. She's a certified end-of-life doula, also somebody that you might have listened to previously on this podcast, and she'll be informing us about green burials. Fascinating. Each panelist will give a brief presentation with an opportunity for questions and answers afterwards. For additional information, register, and please visit our online events calendar. But one person will also show up again this month. Kim O'Rourke will be returning on Thursday, April 20th at 6 p.m. to talk trash. What a lovely program name. I love it. Participants will learn about Middletown's recycling options, learn about the city's curbside waste to clean energy program, how to recycle right, and why it's important to reduce waste, refill, and reuse. And then finally, to end Earth Week, mm-hmm. which is on Earth Day, on Saturday, April 22nd at noon, the library will join the Earth Day celebration at Harbor Park. There'll be delicious vegan food, a repair cafe, and a drag story hour, and much more. So we got a busy week for April, that one for Earth Week. Oh my God.
Absolutely.
And there's more to come because April is not only just Earth Week and Earth Day, important days. It's also Financial Literacy Month.
Yes, it's Financial Literacy Month, and the library is hosting workshops that will help you make the most of your money. So on Tuesday, April 25th at 6 p.m., Petrina Dixon will present Money Management Basics. Credit isn't just a number. She will return on Thursday, April 27th at 6 p.m. to discuss the art of the side hustle. These workshops are recommended for teens, college students, and anyone who's trying to make the most of their money. Petrina is a personal finance expert and the best-selling author of the Financial Journal book series, It's My Money. She teaches people strategies for managing money on her podcast and YouTube channel, and she really is fabulous. She makes the driest subjects seem a little fun because money should be fun. We should be responsible with it. But
we should be.
But we should also enjoy it.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. That's right. Treat yourself.
What is her podcast called?
I think it's also called It's My Money.
That's right. Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I may ask her for some podcasting tips.
Yeah.
Because she has a great voice. So, whether you are interested in animals specifically or celebrating Mother Nature in general or just learning how to be responsible with your money so you can have a little fun, Russell Library has something for you. Thank you, Shannon, for joining me today. Thank you all for joining us today. Russell Library appreciates all of the support that we receive from the community. Thank you for listening, and please visit our website to learn more about our events and resources. Middletown Strong is now available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of the places you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe and feel free to share what you learn with others. Russell Library has too many exciting things going on to keep them quiet. And quiet is boring, right, Shannon?
Oh, it most definitely is.